the Around the NFL podcast would make the sun go blind if it looked at them directly.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Colleen Wolf, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, people?
Hey, hey, hey.
Disagree with the drop. Sun's still more powerful than the four of us, despite what some of us would like to think.
Yeah. Not more powerful than Head & Shoulders, our sponsor.
That's true.
Yeah. It won't make you go blind, Head & Shoulders, if you look at it, but it'll make your hair shine so bright that maybe if you look at that, it could blind you.
Nicely played. Nicely played.
Especially gets the big bucks.
That's it.
Is that?
That's right. Big 3.5. You know how, like, Chance the Rapper wears the hat that says 3? Connie, 3.5.
Oh, God.
This is the Tuesday edition of the Around the NFL podcast, and we have such a busy show that we can't screw around. We got a lot to get to because let's go through it. I mean, we have the Monday night football recap. Nice game. Nice Monday night game.
Yeah.
Things are looking good in the NFL after a shaky first couple of weeks that made me worry about the future of the league. Another nice primetime effort by two football teams that play professionally.
Feels like some ad copy you're reading right there.
Also, we will, for the first time this season, we're going to bring back the ATN Power Poll. We are, by the way, it's not the quarter poll. Somebody snootily commented on Twitter, not to me, but I just saw it in my tweet deck. In horse racing, the quarter pole is when there's quarter of the race left, which would be what we would then think was the three-quarter pole.
Week 12, week 13.
Yes. So the one-fourth of the regular season schedule is complete for a lot of teams.
Maybe it's the three-quarter pole.
So let's check
then.
In. Yeah, whatever.
The person needs to calm down.
Yeah,
everybody calm down a little bit.
Everybody calm down. And then finally, and Greg, I know you're excited. Oh, it's coming back, baby. The subreddit super contest week 3.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's see what our listeners can blow this time. I mean, how much easier can the questions get?
Wow. Massive disrespect.
Yeah. Listeners, we appreciate you. Greg doesn't. We do. And that's why we're trying to give you this special
prize. I just want to give them the prize. They don't need to jump through all these hoops.
Salty. So that's what's going on today. So why don't we get right to work and start with a little Monday Night Football.
20-20 tie. High snap. Pull down. Butker's kick is up. It is right down the boulevard. It's good. And the Chiefs take a 23-20 lead with 4 seconds left in regulation. And Harrison Butker kicks some. You know what?
Oh,
wow. I love that call.
Put it on the list, Loose Cannon. Who is that, by the way? Anybody know? Is that Mitch Holtis?
Whoever it is, he's great.
Mitch does a great job in Kansas.
Who is that, Erica?
It is Mitch.
Mitch with the call. Harrison, great first name, by the way, Butker. Had a 43-yard field goal with 8 seconds to play. It was his first game after he signed out the practice squad. What a way to debut on Monday night in Kansas City in the loudest building in the league. Seattle fans, what about our building? I don't know. Well, you guys figure it out. Anyway, it gave the Chiefs a 23-20 lead. They then got a last play of the game touchdown on some shenanigans. So 29-20 final over the Washington Redskins. The Chiefs moved to 4-0 on the season, the only undefeated team in the NFL through the quarter pole. We call it the quarter pole. Deal with it, Greg Rosenthal.
The first quarter could work.
Yeah. Go back to the horse track with your cigar and your newspaper, your racing form.
A very slow start for the Chiefs, who were down 10-0 at the end of the first quarter, but they got their way back into it and then closed out in the fourth quarter.
They dominated the final three quarters of this game. Yes, they were a Josh Docks and drop or just couldn't come up with the catch in the end zone away from possibly losing this game. But they looked like the better team. They held the ball the whole time. And Kareem Hunt is kind of the closer. Like, this team, yes, they've been close every week. It's not like it's a dominant 4-0. With 10 minutes left in all four of their games, it's a one-score game, either up or down. They're close. But they find a way of kind of wearing on opponents in Kareem Hunt and the offense. And this time, Alex Smith making a big play out of the pocket. seems to save their best for last and tire out the opposition.
I really thought it was a next level. It had Aaron Rodgers type feel pre-snap with Alex Smith. I would rarely say that. He's a very smart quarterback, but drawing Preston Smith off sides over and over, constantly pulling penalties for free plays. It was the Chiefs don't have that overt weakness that you can point to in attack. They're just a very solid team. When it comes to Dotson, though, that drop, because we waited so long for him to have that game, it's like, had he caught that, the entire league would be talking about Josh Dotson and the uprise they'd have. And Terrell Pryor had a good game finally.
And instead, Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, I mean, he was the quarterback that impressed me the most in this game. And I know he's, again, playing for a long-term deal, and he's going to get that money because I know a lot of people maybe aren't sold him on him still, but I think he made so many big throws, and that is a tough environment.
Led the team in rushing.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
After the Chiefs scored a touchdown, I believe, to either go ahead or tie the game in the second half, Cousins went right down the field and scored, had the big hookup with Vernon Davis, and then threw a nice touchdown pass. He put that pass to Dotson right on the money. I mean, you got to make that catch. It wasn't like a blooper drop, but it's exactly
a tough catch.
In a game like that where the stakes are high, you cannot ask for a better pass from your quarterback. So he made the pass. His team just didn't cooperate with him. I was very impressed with Cousins in this game.
Yeah, I thought that they needed to control the clock a little bit better in this game. The Redskins, their drives were so short, and they just, I think, put too much pressure on their defense, and the defense had way too many penalties too. So that really hurt them. But in terms of Kansas City, I thought Alex Smith was really locked in the way that he was grabbing yards and running for it. And Travis Kelce had such a great night. I can't really get past his dance in the end zone.
Yeah, you liked it, right?
I just was surprised by it. I don't think I can move like that.
I watched this game at Paramore Manor. And the Paramore and Chris Wesseling, and especially the Paramore's mom, were very impressed with the dancing ability of Kelce.
This
wowed women all over the country, because I got a text from a friend of mine who I went to college with.
He was also very impressed.
Greg's getting texts from female college
classmates. Her husband's a Chiefs fan. Her husband's a Chiefs fan, and she loved that movement on old Kelce.
Travis Kelce dance, yes. Is he trying too hard to let everyone know that the white boy can dance? Yes. Travis Kelce, beyond anything else, and I tweeted about this last night, all his shenanigans on the field, he is like the prototypical popular jock from your high school that was a d- to everybody, and was mean and was cruel and picked on kids and didn't treat the women well in his grade.
Wait, what?
Nobody really liked him. Nobody really liked him. But because he had great hair and he could dance at the spring fling.
Now you're really projecting.
And he
are you jealous of Travis Kelce?
Let me finish my point. And he could catch a football and make plays. He was just popular by default. No one actually likes Travis Kelce, but he's very popular.
I thought Gruden, I mean, went out of his way to put him in his place last night in a way that Gruden would, whether you agree with it or not. And it
for all the penalties.
Yeah, it was a little bit. He's a bonehead week after week
and, like, taunting the opponents and running up and down the field. It's just, like, enough with this guy.
I will say one thing about this game, though. I just don't like him. I hear you. I say one thing about this game, because the last time the team that I actually loved was good was, like, the 80s and 90s. So I'm one of these people that, like, we'll nerd out on a couple beers, like, on a day off, and watch, like, some 1988 game that's on YouTube, because they have all these full games. It's not a humble brag. No, it's a waste of time. There's much better things I could be doing with my time. This had an old-school feel to it. It's one of the few games this season that didn't feel like modernized arcade football. It had an old-school defensive feel to it, and I enjoyed it as much as any game all year.
One of the most fascinating dramas was what was left unsaid between John Gruden in the booth coaching his brother against the coach that really gave him a career in Andy Reid. We should point it out, because John Gruden didn't. Jay Gruden cost them this game. This game goes to overtime if Jay Gruden just listens to John Gruden. John Gruden says, very smart, you know, by the Redskins, not taking a timeout here. You don't want to give Alex Smith any time to play. That was with about, I think, 56 seconds left. There was a little before that. Seconds later, Jay Gruden takes a timeout that gives the Chiefs more time to run that offense. There was no reason for the Chiefs to have time there. Washington could have set it up in such a way, because Kansas City wasn't taking that timeout in a way that they would have not had time to go down the field. And right after John Gruden says, like, very good, not taking a timeout, crickets.
That's awkward.
Didn't hear a word. Didn't hear a word about it.
It's a tough position to be in as a broadcaster.
I understand that, but it was still bad clock management by Jay Gruden, and it cost them. We see this with coaches. Yeah. Like, they're great at a lot of things, but clock management, often not one of them.
I'm shocked it wasn't Andy Reid in that position.
Right.
That's crazy.
A couple straight weeks, it's actually been in the opposition, whether it was Anthony Lynn or some other coaches the Chiefs have gone against. Doug Peterson not making the best choices.
How worried should Washington be about Chris Thompson?
What about him?
I don't know.
Why would they be worried at all?
I don't know. The ball security just being not a part of the attack.
Been like one. I would say he's been their most valuable player on offense up until last night.
He's a role player. It's interesting that in a night like Monday night when they lose Rob Kelly to an injury, they just refuse to kind of turn it over to Thompson. Like, he is really their James White third down back guy. At a point where Samaje Perine, that's who they should be worried about, is really struggled. But they just won't let Thompson kind of be the guy. He's a good role
player.
They've
talked about Thompson because of his size. They don't want to overuse him. But they've done a lot on that team with the guys you think would have been massive producers up until Terrell Pryor last night having a nice touchdown catch. The Terrell Pryors, the Reeds, these guys have not been the core of their offense. Chris Thompson's been
there
big.
There was a little bit of a push-off on that Terrell Pryor touchdown, too.
That's what he does.
A little bit. All right, that's the Monday Night Football recap.
How about the Chiefs, 4-0?
Yes, they are.
Of all the teams.
They'll come up. We're going to do the little power poll later, and I think they'll probably be in the top half of the power poll.
Otherwise, that city will revolt and bury us.
And there's something wrong with our quarter poll power poll.
That's right.
Let's do some news.
Buckkicker.com did a nice job.
All right. The Bears have done it. They made the decision. Mitch Trubisky is their new starting quarterback. The Bears handed the reins to their number 2 overall pick this week, starting with week 5, a Monday night game. Nice job for a nice situation there for ESPN. John Fox made it official. He said it was a decision that, quote, needed to be made. So it is over very quickly for Mike Glennon, who went 1-3 in 4 starts to open the season. Colleen, Glennon just didn't show much. Do you think it was the right move to do it now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that John Fox didn't really have a choice. He had to do it. Mike Glennon looks awful, especially in that Thursday night game. Look at the way he opened the game with the fumble right off the top of the game, and then he had a snap that went right off his knee. There was just so many things that happened in the game against him, and he's not inspiring when you watch it. You just don't think, oh yeah, they can do something here on offense. This is a team that, yeah, when you look, they don't really have wide receivers, but they have a running game and they have a good offensive line. So why not put Mitch Trubisky in there? Because he had a really good preseason.
I'd say of any of the rookie quarterbacks, he's the one that you would have said if there weren't other, you know, sort of contract issues and politics behind the scenes going on. Trubisky's the one who would have earned the week 1 start over Deshaun Watson at that point. Things have changed with Deshaun Watson.
Sure.
But, I mean, Trubisky, he extends the play. I think he makes the Bears' offense more palatable to watch, more enjoyable.
Way more mobile.
So I wanted this to happen much sooner. It's happening soon enough.
Fox, you know, I would think regrets starting Glennon. Maybe regrets the wrong word. I don't know if he thinks that way, but they're 1-3. He's coached, I think, for 16 straight years in the NFL. He's not going to get a 17th unless Trubisky saves him. And Glennon wasn't going to be that guy. Now, Glennon played pretty well in week 1. Even that, like, week last week, like, you had a time when Tony Romo was saying during that game, Mike Glennon's played as well as Aaron Rodgers in this game. You know, that it's a blindside sack on the first play. It's like a ball bouncing off his knee. He did not play well. The problem is he's a veteran quarterback that was turning the ball over. He had three picks or 5 picks and 3 fumbles. And Trubisky looked so good in the preseason. Yeah. But I think one thing we've seen with Watson is that preseason football doesn't have much to do with regular season football. And that cuts both ways. So now you get the game plan on both sides. That's really helped a guy like Deshaun Watson, having O'Brien cook up a scheme just for him for a week. We'll see if the Bears can do that with Trubisky. He doesn't have anyone to throw to, really. I mean, Kendall Wright's his top wide receiver.
And a reminder is the way sports are, like, just like Kirk Cousins and Josh Doctson would be heroes today if they could connect on that play. You know, Jordan Howard makes that catch in week 1 against the Falcons. and the Bears upset Atlanta in their opener. Maybe he has a little bit more rope to play with, but that's just not how it worked out. And
right.
But you can't really feel sorry for that.
This was coming at some point.
Maybe they would even bought him an extra week, and then maybe he does something.
But now
with
you give him.
Week,
you have an. You have, if it matters or not, the fact that it was a Thursday night game. Up until a Monday night game, you get an extra. It's a good, the right transition.
It's a good for America too. I mean, we got to watch this Bears team, and Trubisky is fun.
Well, America doesn't have to watch.
Bears haven't been fun in a long time.
It's on Monday Night Football. He was fun to watch. So if nothing, even if he's not perfect, it's
that's why it's good news for ESPN, because I think a lot of America may have chosen not
that
to watch
been a tune out
Mike
game.
Glennon, and now there's a lot more to be compelled about that game. Moving on, Derek Carr, he's going to miss some time. Bad news. Very bad news for the Oakland Raiders. Jack Del Rio told reporters Monday that his star passer is dealing with a transverse process fracture in his back. Del Rio said there's a real good chance he'll miss this week, and he could be he said the signal caller's time on the shelf could be as short as 2 weeks. So they are optimistic that it won't be a long absence, which is good. But if the injury is familiar at all, Mark, to listeners out there, it is the same injury that shelved Tony Romo last preseason and then opened the door for Dak Prescott. And it was ironic or a coincidence that Tony Romo was calling that game on Sunday.
There you go. I mean, my concern for the Raiders.
Was it ironic or a coincidence?
I won't delve into that. I feel like nothing is ironic anymore. Every time anyone points out anything, there's irony. If it's like, no, it's not, and here's the three reasons why it isn't, so I'm not going down that road.
Okay.
But really? I will say this.
Who does that?
Huh? I don't know.
Every ironic. Time everyone.
I think that's ironic that Tony was in the booth for that, yeah.
I mean, it's intriguing. I'll leave it right there.
Yeah, I guess it's an interesting wrinkle, but back injuries are so dicey.
An interesting wrinkle, for sure.
Well, great. I mean, for the coach to say, oh, we think he'll be there. They don't know. They're going to have to wait and see.
I don't think it's going to be 2 weeks, that's for sure.
Oh, you're questioning Derek Carr? I think he's going to be back. Is this a man that's strong of character? He's going to be a fast healer. He's a leader. And
he's a God-fearing man, and God will look out for him.
Well, we have history of this, though. Tony Romo only missed one game with this injury in 2014. Cam Newton only missed one game with this injury.
Yeah, but everybody's different.
Everyone's different. I know. I'm just saying it's possible.
Derek Carr is young. He's young, and it's not Tony Romo at his age. I'll say this. My concern is that here we get an E.J. Manuel, who with Buffalo was a turnover machine, looked okay on Sunday. And my concern is that this Raiders offense has not been productive, has not been very watchable with Carr in the lineup.
No.
The last 2 weeks.
And they got to play the Ravens.
Yeah.
Good defensively.
The offensive
you might not
line,
need to score much.
Who we talked up all offseason, it's not looking as strong as I thought it was going to be. And they can't run the ball either. So if you don't have Derek Carr out there, Michael Crabtree was banged up. This offense worries me.
I would say if he does not come back after the Ravens game, you have the Chargers and the Chiefs back-to-back divisional matchups, then the Bills and the Dolphins. So I'm not sure we'll see him in 2 weeks. We'll see.
In other quarterback injury news, Andrew Luck of the Colts will return to practice this week, according to CBS Indianapolis. Have we gotten it from our own people as well? All right, but CBS Indianapolis is reporting that Luck will be back on the practice field, which is obviously a big step for him. It's a situation where he's already missed 4 weeks. You would think maybe in a best case scenario, maybe you get to see him in week six. We don't know, but this is a big step, Greg.
It is. And my fault, our place didn't need to confirm it because Chris Ballard did release a statement saying,
what's your favorite type of frog?
That's what he said.
No, he said, that Andrew Luck will be back at practice this week. So this is official. And after talking about this story,
Endlessly.
We called it out in April, like, hey, this is going to be a story. Keep an eye on that. Maybe he's not going to be back. Just don't assume with this type of injury that he's going to be ready for the start of training camp. Forget the start of training camp. We're hopeful maybe week six he's back on the field, maybe week seven. You look at their schedule, it's like you got to win one more maybe with Brissett to keep them in the mix.
Yeah. Wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. Ooh,
slice me off a piece of that Jake Brisket.
After you're done slicing off a piece of that, wasn't there a sandwich bet involved with Andrew Luck and someone else that Connie Fox?
Oh, it was Mike Glennon and Andrew Luck.
You said you propped out that Mike Glennon would have more starts this season than Andrew
Luck.
Would
have fewer starts than
fewer starts.
Andrew Luck.
And that's probably not going to happen.
We don't know yet.
Well,
I don't know what's going to happen.
Right, it's true. I wouldn't celebrate yet. Like you can't assume that Andrew Luck is going to stay healthy.
I'm not celebrating. I'm not that invested in it. I got a lot of stuff going on.
I still don't really know if I would get a sandwich out of it or not.
How do I
get a sandwich out of this?
You get a sandwich if Glennon ends up starting more games than Andrew Luck.
All right, that's what I need to happen.
If you read the tea leaves, it is not looking good. But you never know what could happen in a football season. Mitch Trubisky could bomb or get hurt, and then Glennon could still beat him out.
Or injuries could happen for either side. Luck, Trubisky, who knows?
The rules remain so hyper-murky for you on that game. That is my favorite part of
I don't know. I don't know why.
We're just guiding her through it gently. We love our Connie Fox. And
you deserve sandwiches, though, just for joining us each week as a thanks we should get.
Wow.
Are we going to ring the bell on that, too? What is going on with Greg today?
And finally in the news. So Andrew Luck on the mend. And that's great news for the Colts. And Jake Brisket, yes, has done a great job keeping them in contention. Last bit of news, people, before we move on. Our good friend of the show. He's never been on the show, doesn't know who we are, but he's our friend, Jairus Byrd, has a job.
Jairus Byrd. Jairus Byrd.
Carolina Panthers have found a short-term replacement for injured safety Kirk Coleman. It is Jairus Byrd, who was once a star for the Buffalo Bills, signed a big contract with the Saints and belly flopped out of the league, and now is getting a chance to, get his career back. For now, anyway.
Are you happy for him?
Well, just for the return of the drop. I'm rooting for him. That's a good place to.
I root for everybody.
To recover your
Travis
career.
Kelce.
But especially if there's a drop. You need to make a drop for Travis Kelce.
I mean, it was one of the more regrettable.
Sneer.
Greg is attempting to finish his point.
Right.
No, your point's more entertaining.
Go ahead.
One of the more regrettable decisions Chris Wessling and I ever made, and I'll put the blame on myself, that he was our number one free agent of the 2014 class. In the entire NFL.
I mean, you guys weren't alone, I don't think. I think he was a hot commodity at that time.
And the rest of the list doesn't look too great either. Eugene Monroe, Michael Johnson.
Free agency.
I guess, it's another reminder, and let the Jairus Byrd be the patron saint. Don't think that you're going to build a champion in free agency necessarily. Use the draft.
Or just don't look at our list, because Michael Bennett, Aqib Talib, and Brent Grimes are down there 9, 10, and 12, and those are some stuff.
I had Mike Bennett much higher on my list.
Awkward.
Which was unpublished.
So welcome back, Jairus. Let's move on. Okay, it is time. Get excited. It is time to talk Shoulders of Greatness, presented by Head & Shoulders, the Thursday night football preview, and we got a great one. This is a legitimately great, intriguing, I'm going to say it, fascinating TNF matchup between the New England Patriots, the league's best offense, or close to it, and the worst defense statistically, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Bucs, who just barely beat the Giants. They're 2-1. There's been some leaks with the Bucs so far, and the old Bucks ship. But here come the Patriots.
Good imagery.
And again, the Patriots in a place that they've been in before early seasons in the last 10 years or so, where a lot of people are doubting them. This feels like, to me, one of those games where the Patriots make one of their Patriot statements and destroy the opponent. But this is also a very strange start for New England on defense.
You know, we're about to talk our power poll, and you just rubber stamp New England number one, and then you create the intrigue from there on out. And I think we're going to find out that's not necessarily the case this year, because the problems that we've had, and we've talked about it all season, it starts with the defense. It's not just that it's statistically the worst defense in the league. It just looks somewhat unfixable right now. And the thing that concerns me for New England is that if Doug Martin for Tampa Bay, he's back, he's eligible to play, and that's what's been missing for me with Tampa Bay, was a ground game that can really create balance for that and make the passing game that much more unpredictable. If Doug Martin looks like the Doug Martin from the preseason, New England, this will be an interesting game, and it will go till the end. We'll see.
I could totally see this happening. I think that if they do send Doug Martin out there and he does play a lot in this game, because they said that they don't really know what his goal is going to be.
He looked great in the preseason. Exactly. I think he looked
fantastic.
Play a lot.
I think that will be good
for preseason.
DeSean Jackson, who we haven't seen a whole lot from. He's frustrated right now. He was targeted 6 times this week, and he only caught 2 passes for 20 receiving yards. you know that that's not going to sit well with him, and yep. he's going
to
start
pouting.
They've tried
to get him involved. He's just missed a few big plays that would make it look different,
this
but
is
it, has, it hasn't
right,
happened.
Though.
It remind this would make sense that yeah. he would break out against this defense, but it's funny. It makes me think of the Hard Knocks scene. It was one of my favorite scenes of the last season where D-Jax approached Jameis Winston on the sideline during a preseason
yeah.
game and was like, something like, I want you to love me. I want you to love me the way you love your boy Mike. And Winston had a comment along the lines, oh, I already do love you, but, you know, Mike gave me reasons to love him. And there was, like, a nice, interesting dynamic between a veteran pass catcher and kind of a volatile personality at times earlier in his career.
Hashtag
and
entitlement.
This young guy. and you wonder what's going on behind the scenes as we're getting deeper into the season and D-Jax has not made.
I mean, he looked impact. A little frustrated during that Giants game.
Absolutely, because they've thrown the ball 20 times to him. He has 9 catches. And Cameron Brate's a little more consistent. Adam yeah. Humphries has more catches right now.
Yeah.
But I want to see if this secondary of the Patriots that I was all excited about, people were all excited about this secondary. Okay. All right, let's upgrade with Logan Ryan. Let's put in Stephon Gilmore. We still got Malcolm Butler. He's not really playing that well right now. We still got Devin McCourty, who is the leader, I would say, of that defense back there. I think he's played just fine, but you have Patrick Chung. Like, this team, it's communication. They put a lot on their players in terms of the way they change their scheme on a week-to-week basis. Let's game plan this way. You guys talk. We're going to change up the schemes based on what the offense is doing. It's that way at both sides. And when that's not working, then you see what happened last week against the Panthers, where there's just guys open by 25 yards, and especially Eric Rowe, who might not be healthy to play in this game, and Gilmore really seem to be struggling with that. And this is not the offense you want to go against, because I know they haven't been perfect this year, but they looked better last week against the Giants overall, and it's a lot of weapons.
And in one specific way, you mentioned Cameron Brate. They also got O.J. Howard totally open, and that Giants defense, the Giants have issues, but their secondary and their ability to cover pass catchers has been solid this season, and Brate and Howard torched them, utterly decimated New York early.
This is going to sound like a reverse jinx, but I'll reiterate, I think the Patriots are going to blow up on the Bucs in this game, because I still think the Patriots are going to be right there at the end of the season, and they're going to start figuring things out. I know it's a short week, which is not going to make it any
on
easier.
On the road.
The road against Matt Patricia and company. I understand all that, but I know this team and this coach and this quarterback too well to doubt them and think that they're gonna. It's going to be like the Chiefs game 2 years ago in primetime. I think they're going to wax the Bucs, who I think have more problems.
That sounds like out. You're locking it up.
Oh, that's
a Thursday lockup. Never heard of it.
Are you guys going to let me lock up the Patriots? I would.
Well, sure. I don't even know if they're favored.
If you guys all signed off on it, I'll do it.
I'd sign off.
Go for it.
All right. Well, I'll lock up the greatest team of all time. Thanks. All right. I'm up to 3-2 in locks. I'm already
Dan's walked right into our trap.
No, once again, a no-lose situation here for the old Zeuser.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah.
You came into my spider web, don't you see?
That was a thorny bit of psychological warfare that started against New England and may have turned on us. We'll see how that
went. Bucks get Quan Alexander back. He announced it on Instagram. I don't know if they get Levante David back, but I am interested to see how the Patriots hold up front. I've said it here, but Tom Brady, I think, is playing as well or better this year than he did a year ago. He is, to me, the MVP or the best player in the league so far, but I don't think it can hold up. And Gerald McCoy's playing pretty well. Like, they need to do a better job around him, protecting him.
Your friend Susie Grimes is going to be licking her wounds after Thursday. What's her name again?
That is not
Marge Grimes.
Nico?
That is
Nico.
Susie
Grimes,
potentially a relative of Nico Grimes, but not her.
Well, she's like a big Bucs fan. Maybe she'll be upset too.
Susie Grimes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marge Grimes. Carlita Grimes. Grimes, there's so many options.
The Grimes sisters. Well, they wouldn't necessarily have the same last name as their sister married to a Grimes family member. But
now you're making great points.
Complex.
All right, let's move on.
Families work.
That is Shoulders of Greatness, presented by Head & Shoulders. All right, here we go. It is time to let's take a step back, guys. Let's check out the North Star. Let's look above the treetops. Let's drain the water from the ocean.
Open the kimono while we're at it.
Open the kimono. Show off our junk and talk about the NFL through 4 weeks. It's time for the power poll. Screw you, Twitter. The quarter poll power poll. You can't hold us down. All right. So, Greg.
Quarter mark power. I mean, just hearing the word poll twice. So, so quickly in succession. I don't really like
but that. Too much for you.
Two different spellings, though, so it's kind of like cute, too, in a way. It's a little bit of weird symmetry. Anyway, Greg, do you want to – you not only handled the math on this, which I think was a smart move.
Swiftly, too.
You also –
yeah, I felt like that was – you know, a little bit of stereotypes went into that. Like, oh, let's have the Jewish guy do the numbers. But okay, let's...
Well,
let's
that's in your own head. You asked to do it, actually. So that's
the thing you've dealt with for a while?
What's with the self-loathing, bro?
Well, that's a Jewish thing, too.
All right, so you... But you were carrying the... Let's use more cliches. You carried this one over the goal line before the show, Greg, tabulating and whatnot. So let's go through the league. We'll try not to make this too painful. Let's go.
Yeah, we each came up with our poll and we averaged it out, and there we go.
Was it the mean or the average?
It's the average.
Okay, what's the mean again?
The mean would be what, the high and the low, and then you cut it right down the middle, I believe.
But isn't that the average?
The mean is.
Help me out if I'm wrong there behind the glass. But
means the average. The median is.
Oh, it's
what's
the median.
Oh, the median's what I'm thinking of. I think. Yeah. By the way, the thing is, Dan constantly touted as this terrible math person. Awful at math, constantly getting 50s and 60s on quizzes and then having to hide them, forge a signature
for my
parents.
Are you trying to come for my math corner?
I'm not. I don't even want it. It's ridiculous.
I came to your corner with the Browns, and you sent me away.
Well, you tried.
I'm going to send you away from this corner.
I'm just saying, if you, like, you know, 50s and 60s, like a 36, I had to go home and get signed by a mom, and just you forge that signature. You bring that thing back forged.
Did you guys get homework reports? Our school district.
Absolutely.
If you missed an assignment, the teachers had the option of filling out a very a brief Xerox form with your name and the assignment you missed.
Yeah.
And if he or she felt like it, maybe a little bit more about, well, you know, what a bad student you are.
I'm with you.
These things, your behavior or whatnot. I went through a phase. I wasn't a hideous student, but I did go through phases in my life in junior high where I just wouldn't do homework. And the homework reports start to pile up on you after a while. So me and my cousin Matt, who also didn't do his homework, got in the habit of, like, getting to the mailman before he reached the mailbox.
Oh, yeah. That's the trick back then.
Yeah. And say, oh, yeah, we're going to grab this for our parents, you know, and the homework reports never got there. But then what happens is, this is how we got banged, how I got banged on this. There was, like, a back-to-school thing, or a teacher called. Sometimes the teacher will call, too. And he's like, well, as you know, Danny has had 32 homework reports.
It's like, what?
It's like, what?
Oh, no. Your son has never accomplished a homework assignment ever.
In like, reality, like, maybe two or three got through the system if I was at soccer practice or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so.
No,
Brian doesn't pay, folks.
From the mail.
It's like an issue.
Yeah.
You get, like, the report card would come in this yellow envelope with the school's, like, stamp on it. Take it home. Parents still out for about another hour and a half.
Yep.
Dig a hole in the yard, bury the report card in the yard, and then put the dirt over it, put the grass over it, go inside like nothing happened.
And one last note to you kids out there.
Wow.
You kids out there listening, I'm now 37 years old, and I'm doing exactly the job that I want to do.
Bury those school reports.
You don't need math.
You don't need anything.
No, you don't need
anything. Just graduate, get the diploma.
And don't get bogged down with these extracurriculars, signing up for 400 clubs. Go have fun.
I was so bad at math that for the SATs, my parents sent me to take a course, and it was like guaranteed your score goes up or your money back, and we got our money back. I plummeted after taking that class.
All right, anyway, so sorry for the digression there, folks. Back to the power poll, mean, average, median, whatever. We broke it into how many tiers, Greg?
Five or six.
There seems like a lot of tiers.
You can luck.
Way to take it over the goal line, Greg.
Six, seven?
I'm saying
seven.
You should be the
sled
dog here.
Seven tiers.
Seven, eight, though.
All right,
that
so
one?
What is
the eight, WTF?
Eight, actually. I'm incorrect.
All right, let's go. You want to go top to bottom on this?
I think we go. Let's go bottom
let's
to
go bottom to top. All right.
Okay. Oh, all right.
Way to see the North Star, Greg. All right, what do you got?
Well, the number 32 team is all by itself in a tier that you can guess who named it. It's called the Distant Dark Netherworld, and it's the Cleveland Browns. Who, Mark, you know, everyone else, you know, we ranked them 1 to 32. He had the Browns 55th in the league.
How about this? Get to 32, and we'll talk.
Yeah, well, I mean, no one's going to argue that. It's just we talked about this on our last show, so we don't need to delve into it. But here we are again. The Browns, a quarter of the way through the season, again, the consensus worst team in football.
They're getting worse. That was the worst game for Kaiser, the worst game for the Browns. I think they can bounce back, but they have absolutely no pass rush, absolutely no wide receivers. It's just like chunks.
No run game.
Chunks of the team. But I think the run game could happen. Like, the players are there.
My one concern is I don't see the next team that's as close and tough to watch as them. They got a lot to work on.
Well, everyone had the Browns last.
Yeah.
Who is the closest to the Browns?
The Colts are, and I don't think there's some huge difference between the Browns, the Colts, the 49ers. So in the group, 25-31. We called it. It's getting late early, and ultimately,
incredibly original.
I like it.
It does the job.
Yeah,
you know exactly what the tier means.
Yeah, good job by Greg on that one. I thought
it's a moral victory for the Jets to be the 25th best team in the league.
Well, they're on the bubble,
right? They're at 25. The New York Giants, I went back and looked at the NFL.com predictions for the year. 4 out of 15 NFL.com analysts had them in the Super Bowl.
Four.
Thank you, including a former NFL GM. So.
Right. Wow. So a lot of people love the Giants. They're 26. 27th is the Chargers, who I had going far in the playoffs.
You're not alone.
The Bears at 28. Dolphins at 29, another one of the most disappointing teams in the league. 49ers and Colts about where we expected them to be ahead of the season. 31.
I was curious because I had on my rankings.
And if you scroll down, I have all your individual.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. I had the Jets at 23, so that would say that you guys were all kind of in that same realm.
Yeah, I had them at 26. Yeah.
25.
There you go.
So far,
they've
been
amazing.
After these last 2 weeks, yeah.
I mean, I don't think they're good. But their defense is competitive, and I think they're playing hard.
All right, what's the next category?
You get an honest effort out of these Jets.
You got to give Todd Bowles credit for sure. He is, and Wes had a lot of fun at Todd Bowles' expense because they asked him directly if they're rebuilding, and head coaches don't say that. He's doing the best that he can with that team, and so far the best is 500, and that's not bad.
We'll move on, but I will say the Dolphins are in the best spot of all these teams because they've only played 3 games, and they've been on the road for about a month. They have had a lot of things going on with them. You can envision a scenario maybe they can reset their season. It's only 1-2. I agree with that. They're at 29 because they deserve it, but they could move up. All right.
I don't think the 49ers are staying at 30 either, but okay.
Interesting. You think they're going to get better?
I see hope in every game for them, but it may take more than this season. But
The next section is stand up, be brassy.
Ooh, I like that.
And
now we're back in more original terrain.
Yeah, like this is good.
24... You know, a lot of comments. You could. I asked you if you wanted to throw in some names, and you didn't.
I know. I said you should be the North Star on it, and I think you're doing a good job on balance.
Well, Mark and I both came up with these names.
I came up with Distant Dark Netherworld. Sticking to it.
24 is the Ravens. Yikes! Not a good start to their. I could almost bury them a little.
I was going to say I'm surprised that they're not in. It's getting late.
Let's
early.
I had the Ravens.
Well, they're
at 25.
2-2. I guess.
Yeah, but
you're right. That's fair.
It's been pretty grim. Maybe a recency bias is playing in because they were perfectly fine the first 2 weeks. They've been dreadful the last 2 weeks.
They have
I'll say
something
this. Their up. Offense, like against Pittsburgh, their offense has held their defense hostage. Their defense is not as bad as it was in that Jaguars game.
Right. And the week before, everything was broken. So
They have something to them, a coaching staff, an organ that makes you believe they'll get better.
Yeah. They just haven't been able to pass the ball, though, at all.
Oh, they're a hideous watch on offense.
At all since the beginning of the season, yeah.
Seems like a factor for them. The Bengals at 23. Dan and I both had them in the playoffs. Not quite done yet, 1-3. The Cardinals, 22. Jaguars, 21. So we're not quite buying all the way in on the Jaguars yet. No. Saints at 20. Vikings at 19. Titans all the way down at 18 after a bad performance. And the Bucks, who I guess we're not really buying into too much, at 17, right in the middle.
By the way, I love this. I'm the one that all the Tennessee fans get upset with on this podcast. I had them 16, and if they're at 18, that means my friends here – both had them lower.
I had them at 18.
Which is interesting.
And Mark had them at 18 as well.
Yeah. And the one comment I'll make about that tier, additional comment I should say, is I believe Cincinnati will rise. I'm now feeling.
To what?
Do you believe in Bill Lazor?
I believe that by the time if we do this exercise at the halfway point, I do believe in Bill Lazor, by the way. Got a lot of tweets.
Yeah, people driving off the road. Yeah, right. This part of it.
Yeah, I believe the lasers. Maybe the volume should be down a little bit.
No, I'm saying it should go up.
It's a little dangerous.
I believe by the midway point, when we do this exercise again, I think the Bengals will be a 500 team and will be in the mix, and that's a kind of a weird division. So,
Colleen, if you were picking a
not
team,
done with them.
Team in this group to
stand make up the brassy group,
that would stand up and be brassy and make, let's say, the divisional round of the playoffs.
To make, oh, okay.
You know, like really get out of this and be brassy. This team's
probably,
got a chance.
Probably the Bucks. They've only played three games. So
they've won two of them.
Yeah.
Right, and they're at the top of this tier.
Yeah.
The Vikings, too. And Sam Bradford gets back if he plays better or plays the way he did before he got the knee
Vikings
injury.
Have a lot to like.
Yeah. Losing Dalvin Cook stinks.
It really does, but they have a lot of playmakers on
That's
defense.
True. I forgot
Their offenses look good.
That's
I think they belong
you
where they are at 19
Latavius
right now.
Latavius Murray, and his ankle isn't even 100% yet. So what are you doing on the ground there?
Wait, did we all have them at 19? I had them at 19.
I had them at I'm a little
I had them at 16.
I'm a little burnt from last season, but that's not fair, but I had them at 20. So
I think they have real upside.
They've looked good for long streaks
Case
of time.
Case Keenum, that was one where I apologize for anything derisive we said that they need Sam Brad. Case Keenum played great in that game that they only scored 7 points. They have a lot to like. It was a bit of a fluky game. They've generated offense. They've got the I think there's still something there.
All right, what's next, Greg?
Surprisingly frisky, just the three-team tier here, Lions, Redskins, and Bills. Lions fans feeling a little slighted on this podcast, and this isn't going to help.
No.
They're 3-1 in that 14th in the league on our power poll.
Yeah. I had them at 18. I guess I just
so you were the one that was true.
Yeah.
3-1, and they could be undefeated too if that Golden State touchdown.
I had them at 13.
Right, I had them at 11,
and Mark had them at 11.
I'm
so it's really
Lions.
Dan.
Yeah,
you know, send
I
your
guess,
comments to Dan.
You know, yeah, send your comments to me. I apologize if I'm not respecting your team yet. I will watch this game and watch it and see what I see.
The one thing
see what I see.
Outside
I don't know,
of that like, Falcons game, they're closing games out. Like that's something that Lions. I know last year with their crazy last second business, but they're a different team than last year.
Amir Abdullah too.
Yeah,
Abdullah looks good. Mm-hmm. The defense is fourth in the league in points allowed. They're one of the only teams that are ranked in the top 10 in points scored and points allowed. It's a little fluky sometimes this early in the year. I don't know if they're that. Like the Jaguars, for instance, are in the top 6 in both categories.
I don't know what the Jaguars are.
Well, they're ranked 21st.
Yeah.
They need to stand up and be brassy. The next tier, playoffs or bust. I'm just saying if these
teams. What does that mean exactly?
I'm saying if these teams don't make the playoffs, their fans should be disappointed. At this point, they've shown enough. Or they came into the season with enough that it's like it's a team that you got to be disappointed
Are we listing all the teams as we're going along?
Yeah, I list them all.
All right, good.
Set them all.
Okay, good.
We didn't talk about the Reds.
I got scared for a second there that we were just like cherry picking teams and no one listening to the show is actually hearing the list.
Redskins at right, by the way, Redskins at 15, but the Bills at 16, they're not going to be happy with this. We just need to see a little more.
Yeah, just give us a couple more.
You're a mid-level team. That's overachieving right now. But these other teams, they got more players going on. It's not just going off the standings. Eagles at 6, and we'll dive into that in a second because that is high to me. Falcons at 8, Panthers at 9.
That feels high a little.
I had the Falcons at 13. I'm a little bit, I don't know, like Matt Ryan's regressing a little bit, at least in terms of his production, not even a little bit. He's been down way off from last season, touchdown rate and things of that nature, and they could easily be 1-3 right now.
I had them at 4. And Mark had them at 3. So that was one where we really disagreed.
I still believe in them quite a bit.
To me, they've been exactly what I expected. They're one of the
few
teams that I can say that about.
Tevin Coleman, DeMonte.
I think it's a top 5 or 6 offense, and I think the defense is better.
Defense,
I kind of know what I'm getting with them.
The defense is going to get better, too, because they'll get Vic Beasley back. And Dak McKinley, I mean, he's still a rookie. He's getting better and better every week.
I know that their games have been close, but just looking at the balance of their team, I kind of like what I see still. I think they got the guts of what I expected.
I think the Panthers are maybe a little too high at
Panthers
9.
Are at 9. To finish just going through it, Texans at 10. Cowboys, and these are three teams that could have had their own tier in terms of just being a little disappointing big-name team so far. Cowboys at 11, Raiders at 12, and Seahawks at 13. So you don't like the Panthers that high.
Well, I just think this past week is the first time that I have sort of been buying into them. Like this was the only game so far this year that I was like, okay, yeah, like they look good now. They went into Foxborough. That was a big game for them, even though that defense stinks. but I thought that Cam Newton looked better. He was running around. He looks more confident. I think now I can buy into that defense where or that offense, whereas all the other games I couldn't. With
I'll
that.
Talk about the Eagles. They're actually like we went 6-8 because they're tied with the team above them, so it's 6-7. But the Eagles to
Mark
me,
Mark put them at 2.
I
put them at 9.
I really like the Eagles, and I think that they're
11.
The kind of team that's growing into who they are, and they're going to be a factor deep into the season.
That's big. That's bold. That's good. I like that we all disagreed quite a bit on a few of these teams. For instance, Dan had the Texans much higher than anyone else. He had them at 5. I don't think they were at 15 for me. I don't think they were in Mark's top 10 either. So you think Deshaun Watson.
You guys convinced me a little bit that the Falcons probably deserve to be a little bit higher. And maybe the Texans I could have put a little
Texans
lower.
I had Texans at 12, which is a playoff team.
I'm really, you know, I'm just maybe getting in, trying to get in on the ground floor a little bit with the Texans and Watson and thinking that this season can go in a really big way for them effective now.
Panthers I like as a – I put them the highest. I guess I was the one that jacked them up at 6. I think they're going to get better as the season goes along offensively, and I like the talent. I just look at their roster, and I like it. They got to feel good to get out of here 3.
In our work chat room, there is nonstop, endless bickering and discussion over the Panthers because David Ely, my supervisor, is a hyper Panthers fan, and other people in the room cannot stand the Panthers, and I am exhausted with the team because of this alone.
We have the Patriots tied at 6th in the WTF category. We kind of hit them in the preview, but they have their own place. And
I remember just 3 years ago, we did this exact same exercise, and after the first quarter of the season, they were 2-2 coming off a terrible game, and they weren't in the top 7 or 8. So this has happened before.
Well, so Greg had them at 7. Dan had the Patriots at,
6.
6. Okay, I just didn't see that there. And I had them – I was like, they're dipping, like, I'm dipping down into the teens. I had them at 9. Show me something.
Stand up, be brassy.
I'm not putting them that low, but yeah, be brassy, Bill Belichick. Prove yourself.
It's not the end of the world if they have a 10 or 11 win season where they get better as they go. Like for most,
not for us, it isn't.
For most teams, that's a great season. Team of around the NFL is top 5. The Los Angeles Rams.
I love it. Team of
ATL. They have to be. I mean, come on, they're the team of ATL.
I put them at 9. I guess I was the most. Not skeptical, but you know they've won close games. They've it's been coaching. I think as more tape gets on, people will come up with some answers for them. I think they're a really fun, exciting team. I don't see them as a top 5 team yet.
Dan has the Rams at 8. I have them at 4.
I love the Rams are ahead of the Patriots. This is
what a
crazy
thought.
World
they should
we
be.
Live in.
They should
Who
be.
Would have thought
right now.
Yeah,
which takes us to Greg, the final tier, the top tier. What is it called?
I don't even remember we called this. These are just the early favorites. These are the teams. This is called
Screaming Headlines.
Give me a break. You guys are off doing your own thing. I'm adding this up and trying to get to makeup on time. I just
take
sent
another
it out.
Pass
early favorites is innovative. It is a success, Greg. Good job by you.
It does. It sets out.
Well, here's the thing. I don't buy
into educate.
Tells
it
like it is.
I don't really buy into these tiers. That's why. Because to me,
great.
Now he's hitting out here.
No, I'm not. I'm the one that set him up. But I don't really believe that 1 through 13, there's any difference. Number one is Kansas City Chiefs, Denver Broncos at 2, Pittsburgh Steelers at 3, Green Bay Packers at 4. I think you could throw in all these top 13 teams or so. And they're all about the same.
If they're playing each other on
a neutral field, I wouldn't be stunned to see any result.
Aren't played on a neutral field, and they're not playing on television either.
Well, they are in London and Mexico City, but
someone's field got lost there a little bit.
Okay. Green Bay's managed the schedule very well despite injuries, so they should get better. Pittsburgh suddenly got a top, 10 defense, top 2 right now in terms of points allowed, and the Broncos at 2 are the team I kind of have my eyes on as a potential Super Bowl winning team.
And that's why the games aren't played on paper. That's what I was looking for.
Got it. You got there.
Not played in your television, on a neutral field, or on paper. They're played at someone's home field. That's accurate. Unless it's the Super Bowl.
Or an international game, which is absolutely neutral.
But that's technically a home game for someone.
I mean, so is StubHub.
Mostly the Jags.
The stub toe ref in a big spot?
Raiders I think the Raiders are hosting the Patriots in Mexico this year. The Chiefs, by the way, were unanimously number 1, which I think Chris Wessling, if he's listening, might I don't know, Blanchett a little.
Damn you all to hell.
He was just hoping for the Redskins to win last night because he's not really buying that the Chiefs are some juggernaut, you know, Super Bowl favorite. He thinks they're a fine team.
But also, all of us are saying that the number one does not equal out to be a dominant Super Bowl favorite either.
They got the Broncos, the Steelers, the Patriots, all these teams in the AFC right behind them.
This is something we weren't saying this time last year. The AFC is wide open. That feels good.
I think the NFC is,
too. When was the last time that happened?
Well, I'm just more on the Patriots side,
absolutely. Yeah.
And we'll see what happens. All right, there you go, the power poll, and we'll revisit this at the halfway point of the season. All right, before we wrap things up, it is time to bring it back. Week 3.
Yes.
It's back, the subreddit super contest. All right, quick refresher. We have 2 game tickets to any regular season game on the 2017 NFL schedule. All you have to do, if you were picked by the Loose Cannon on our subreddit, which you can get at Reddit and then the Around the NFL group, sign up for that subreddit. Tamposi, she sent out a thread. People signed up for that thread. She picked 3 names at random from that thread, and now we have the first person up. That gets a chance to win 2 game tickets. They just have to get 4 questions right. Greg is already chewing his fingernails. He's saying, end this thing. We need our show back. But it's all dependent on the listeners.
Today's the day. It happens today.
I thought you were going to say Greg is already tuning out.
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah, accurate.
All right, Tamposi, who do we got first?
All right, we have Chris from Buffalo.
Chris.
Let me grab him.
It's great. Chris is going to do it. He's going to win. Hmm. He's going to answer.
You think this
is there,
it?
Chris?
This is it.
Yes, I am.
All right. Hi.
Colleen
Chris.
Called her shot. She says you're going to be the winner, so congratulations, Chris.
Oh, well, thanks, Greg.
I'm locking up Chris.
Wow.
Doesn't really work in this scenario. But.
Chris, are you a Bills fan?
No, Dan. I actually sit on the throne of these.
Okay, good, good. So if anyone needs a good thing to happen, it's Chris from Buffalo.
Yes.
Chris, best of luck to you. You know the rules, right?
Yes, I do.
All right. Chris, a Patriots fan from Buffalo. Here we go. This perennial league superpower is on pace to finish with the worst total defense since the 1970 league merger.
That would be the New England Patriots.
You did it.
Oh, it worked out perfectly. Yes, you're correct.
He's just trying to stick it to you. Don't let it bother you.
Nah, I'm not. It's not going to affect me.
All right, question 2.
3 away.
In week 5, we are scheduled to see 3 rookies starting at quarterback in the NFL. I just need you to name 2 of them.
Deshaun Kizer and Deshaun Watson.
That's correct.
You did it. That's
halfway
2.
Home.
Halfway there. Woo! Super challenging questions so far. You have overcome a lot.
Who's the third one? I can't remember.
Mitchell Trubisky. See that? I would have said go all 3, but I'm glad I didn't.
Let's keep that droning synthesizer playing because I feel like it starts to affect the nerves of the contestant as we go deeper. Not that I'm rooting against our friend.
Yeah, no, you're not rooting against the throne of ease at all, Dan.
Question.
I like this.
Question 3. Name the NFL star. By the way, this is the Around the NFL podcast question. So,
this
is for the listeners out there. Name the NFL star who famously blocked Dan and Greg on Twitter, then reversed those blocks after a heart-to-heart conversation on the Around the NFL podcast.
Raiders quarterback Derek Carr.
Whoa!
Yeah! Hello!
Ding!
I said keep the synthesizer going, Erica.
It's not necessarily an easy question. You got to make sure, you got to be with us in the off season and all that.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
You're
well,
one
I
away.
I started listening about a year ago. So,
see?
If you guys went outside that realm, I'd be cooked.
Very lucky. Mm-hmm. Very
He can taste those Patriots tickets.
This is Chris. Is that the name? Sorry.
Yeah.
Chris from Buffalo is 3 quarters of the way home.
One more. Let's do it.
One more.
Chris, you could do
Hold
it.
Hold on. Let me get a celebration drop in case we're getting this.
Wow.
Wow. That feels, feels a little
Did
jinxy.
Jinx
a little jinxy.
Wow.
Hold on.
Tamposi. We need
right. I already jinxed myself. I was texting my wife about what game we're going to go to.
Wow. Well, this is
go
basically.
Go to Mexico.
Welcome to the mindset of a Patriot fan, by the way. All right.
You're not wrong.
All right. So one question away.
End this, please.
For all of us, really. We all win here if you
Colleen's
win.
Now joining in.
Are you ready?
It's
yes,
killing me.
I am.
Two game tickets anywhere in the country.
But no airfare and accommodation.
No,
right?
not even close. No,
that's on you.
No,
not even close.
So you might want to pick a Foxborough game.
All right. The final question in the subreddit super contest is an audio clue. Name this former rookie of the year.
I feel great. I think Coach Clark's done a great job with us in the weight room. And then Coach Jay's done a great job, you know, taking care of us out on the practice field. Some people like to call this the grind. You can call it the find because you figure out what you got. And I think we got some good stuff.
Who is it?
Can you play it one more time for me, please?
Okay, one more time.
I feel great. I think Coach Clark's done a great job with us in the weight room. And then Coach Jay's done a great job, you know, taking care of us out on the practice field. Some people like to call this the grind. You can call it the find because you figure out what you got, and I think we got some good stuff.
Oh, man. I think you got me, but I'll go with Andrew Luck.
That is incorrect!
Oh,
and you know what I want to hear? Erica, you know what I want to hear? I want the throne of Alien Invasion. That's the drop.
Oh,
say goodbye to Chris. He's gone.
Bye, Chris.
You wanted a drop, Tamposi. You get a drop.
Patriots 8-8.
I see how this works. Dan setting up softballs on a tee for the first three questions. Hey, spoiler alert. No one's getting that one.
I don't know. Why not? We pulled some people in the office.
I had to think really.
Greg is Salt Bay over here.
No. I'm making a prediction. I would struggle with that. I mean, I think I would get it in the end, but yeah.
We asked multiple people in the studio or in this office, multiple people, just played it back and asked them, and three people knew. So?
These are NFL employees, though, you know. Oh, that know this show.
It's the way it is. And this is the subreddit super contest.
One of them was me.
Right.
All right. Colleen was so excited that the throne of sleaze took another hit that she just took off. She's
gone. I mean, from the sound of it, she sounded so disgusted with this segment that she just had to not be part of it anymore.
But that is absolutely not true.
Interpretation.
Poor Greg. All right. Here we go. Next contestant, Loose Cannon, is...
We have Jimmy from Michigan.
Jimmy from Michigan. What's up, buddy? Welcome to the Around the NFL podcast.
Thank you. This is crazy. This is so exciting.
All right. Who's
welcome.
Who's your team?
The Bears, sadly.
Isn't it funny we've taken, seven or eight callers now, and very few have been actually fans of the teams in the city or state they're calling from. Interesting.
I'm a transplant. Yep. Family's from Illinois. So.
All right. So you are the second caller today, just so you know. So you've already got a little bit of luck on your side. Let's see if you can keep riding it.
Let's go, Jimmy!
Let's go, Jimmy!
Do it!
All right, let's go.
This perennial league superpower is on pace to finish with the worst total defense since the 1970 merger.
It's got to be the Patriots, right?
One for one.
All right.
Great job, Jimmy.
Jimmy!
In week five, we are scheduled to see three rookies starting at quarterback in the NFL. Name two of them.
Oh, come on. Mitch Trubisky and Deshaun Watson.
There we go.
Jimmy's got some swagger.
You could have gone all three. You could have gone all three, right?
Jimmy from Michigan.
Yeah. Halfway home on the subreddit. Super contest. Name the NFL star who famously blocked Dan and Greg on Twitter, then reversed those blocks after a heart-to-heart conversation on the Around the NFL podcast.
Oh, that is all-star quarterback Derek Carr for the Raiders.
Yeah. Oh, this guy's flying. Jimmy from Michigan is flying.
Technically Pro Bowl, you know, all-star is baseball.
He's
gone.
We'll
give you that. No, we're kidding. We're kidding. Way to go, Jimmy.
Greg extends the contest.
No, I'm kidding. You're doing great.
No, Greg's right, though. That is not the correct way to
No. He nailed that.
I meant all-star as in one of the best in the league.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
You got
absolutely.
It, Jimmy.
All right, this is for all the bananas.
Let's go, Jimmy.
You ready, Jimmy?
I am just hoping that I can end the segment for Greg.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Here we go.
Yep.
Shut up, Greg. Get it together. Name this former Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I feel great. I mean, I think Coach Clark's done a great job with us in the weight room. And then Coach Jay's done a great job, you know, taking care of us out on the practice field. Some people like to call this the grind. You call it the find because you figure out what you got. And I think we got some good stuff.
Jimmy?
Can I hear it one more time?
One more time.
Yeah, I feel great. I mean, I think Coach Clark's done a great job with us in the weight room. And then Coach Jay's done a great job, you know, taking care of us out on the practice field. Some people like to call this the grind. You can call it the find because you figure out what you got, and I think we got some good stuff.
Come on, Jimmy.
I heard Coach Jay, which makes me think Washington, but I couldn't tell you what Rookie of the Year they have. Am I allowed to ask if it's offense or defense?
No, just give us an answer.
Ryan Kerrigan.
Oh, get rid of him.
Darn it.
You were so close. And you put it together very nicely, too. But yes. But
we can stop the music, Erica.
Yeah.
Greg is flustered. Well, I mean, I think there's one logic trap there, is that someone is looking at that clip and saying, who has been a Rookie of the Year under Jay Gruden? And that did not happen with RG3. And so you could get caught up in your mind, but you have to hear the voice and recognize that voice and the little catchphrasey business.
I mean, if he took it far enough to say Jay Gruden.
He got close.
Redskins, Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Listen, you can't feel bad for him. I feel bad for him, but you can't say that, you know, you should have had
it. The trick is the Coach Clark throws you off because that's the strength coach and no one knows.
Well, you got to back. You got to erase that from the mind.
All right. We are now down to the final opportunity for a listener. Oh, my goodness. It has come down to this. Erica, who do we have on the line? The final contestant for Tuesday's show.
We have Kumar from D.C.
Kumar from D.C., welcome to the Around the NFL podcast.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Kumar. Who is your team?
The St. Louis Rams.
Uh-oh. Not a good sign. They are the Los Angeles Rams now. Kumar already in trouble.
I don't know if we
– that felt like a protest of the move.
Right. We can get you tickets to –
it was very much a protest.
There you go.
All right, there we go.
He knows his stuff.
We can get you tickets to any NFL regular season game. We cannot get you a St. Louis Rams game, unfortunately. Sad.
That's true. That's true.
All right. So you know the rules, right, Kumar? You got to get four in a row right to be a champion. Let's do it.
Please.
Okay.
Greg is really counting on you now. The perennial league superpower this perennial league superpower is on pace to finish with the worst total defense since the 1970 merger.
Who are the New England Patriots?
Well, I like it. Jeopardy forming
style.
A question. Yes.
Kumar's kind of a wild card, and I like it. Up next. In Week 5, we are scheduled to see three rookies starting at quarterback in the NFL. Name two of them.
Deshaun Watson and Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah!
Right. Here we go.
Halfway home. Name the NFL star who famously blocked Dan and Greg on Twitter, then reversed those blocks after a heart-to-heart conversation on the Around the NFL podcast.
Oh, man. I know you guys got blocked. I don't know if you got reversed, but Derek Carr.
That's
good. Oh, Kumar!
Way to raise the tension there with the oh, man.
You had Greg on his feet.
And I want Christian behind the glass. If Kumar does not get this question right, let's get really tight on Greg's face for his reaction. Okay?
Well, now I'm going to just not give
this
you
this is our video show.
Kumar, are you Washington State or Washington, D.C.?
D.C.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready, Kumar?
Yeah.
This is an audio clue. Name this former Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I feel great. I mean, I think Coach Clark's done a great job with us in the weight room, and then Coach Jay's done a great job, you know, taking care of us out on the practice field. Some people like to call this the grind. You can call it the find because you figure out what you got, and I think we got some good stuff.
Kumar, what do you got?
Can you play that again?
All right, one more time.
Yeah, I feel great. I mean, I think Coach Clark's done a great job with us in the weight room, and then Coach Jay's done a great job, you know, taking care of us out on the practice field. Some people like to call this the grind. You can call it the find because you figure out what you got, and I think we got some good stuff.
Kumar?
This one's hard. I would like to say Zeke.
Ouch. Oh, Kumar.
Bye, Kumar.
Sorry. So sorry.
All right.
From D.C.
The answer, guys, everybody, Robert Griffin III.
It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy.
I don't think it was an easy one, but
no.
You're from D.C. I don't know how long he's been in D.C., but he would have had a lot of RG3 on his TV.
The voice wasn't recognizable, and I feel like I know his voice, and just for whatever reason, that clip, it just seemed flattened
out
yourself, a little bit.
I thought that sounded just like RG3. One of the most famous players in the NFL for about a 3 or 4 year period. Known for saying cheesy things like the grind and the find and all that stuff. He mentioned there's a Coach Jay reference, which is Jay Gruden, his old coach. And we told you that he was
not his coach when he was rookie of the year, though. So
that's true. I think it's good. I would argue the first three questions, if you're bathed in football, were kind of layups. And so I'm all right with the fourth one being a little tougher.
All right, Greg, it's coming back next Tuesday.
Well, all four people that have tweeted at me in support of it will be excited.
Well, actually, I was on a tweet thread where literally there were dozens upon dozens of people.
Kidding.
Yeah. Got that salt.
I mean, you're
that salt shaker's out today.
You're exaggerating.
Got that salt shaker out.
Dozens and dozens. I want to check.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little much.
I've been won over by this and would like to see it go deep into June, July, potentially August,
next
September.
Season. Let's go into next.
It is up to the listeners to end the contest, but it is not over yet, and that is a beautiful thing. All right, we will be back on Thursday with a recap of the Thursday night football matchup between those Patriots and Bucks, and then a recap and then a preview of all the Week 5 games. So make sure you check that out, everybody. And thank you for listening. And just a reminder that the live stream, not really live, but whatever, of this program is on 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern at NFL.com/ATN video. And another reminder that our NFL Pick'em Show, which is the NFL Network program that we are a part of, airs on Saturdays at 9 Eastern, 2 p.m. Eastern, and 11 p.m. Eastern, and then one more time at Sunday morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, leading into Connie Fox and her Game Day Morning program. So thank you to everyone that listens, and make sure you get into that subreddit. If you're sick of this contest, get in there and end it. And let's end this show. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm, Connie Fox, the boss, the loose cannon behind the glass, Christian Anderson, and everybody else. And so long, Mr. Tom Petty. I will miss you until Thursday.